Podtagular, episode 282, Halo 4 release date for April 17th, 2012. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Daftlink.
And from the Waypoint Modcast, we have Root Kezol.
Hola.
What's up?
Not much, you know. Got lots of information to take in all at once.
Yeah, we have a boatload. A frigate load. How about that? A frigate load of information.
So we're dock workers.
Floor it right into the hangar.
We are again without G. Lewis. He had some family issues come up, and I think he's still addressing them. So unfortunately, he will not be on the show, but he should be back on the next one.
Unfortunately, you're stuck with me.
I don't see how that's too unfortunate. I mean, you're a cool dude. So, from what I heard, you know what the ladies like.
Pineapples.
Did you see that I posted that video up on YouTube?
I did. I caught it at work. I was cracking up.
Pineapples.
I didn't know anybody was recording. I guess, you know, being around the rest of the Waypoint mods and you, I should know that there's always going to be a camera or a recording device on somewhere.
One of us has a camera somewhere at some point.
I caught the Texorcist asleep.
Did you now?
Yeah, I'll send you that picture. It's pretty good.
All right. Yeah, I'm sure there's a bunch of other pictures that haven't... Well, you probably shared them with some of the other Waypoint guys. I haven't seen any of them because I'm not in that email thread, but... Well. Anyways, the big news of today is the release date of Halo 4. And I was off by 1 week. I thought it was going to be November 13th, but it is actually November 6th of this year. So I was right that it was going to be before Thanksgiving.
Well, it has to be. I mean, to coincide with Black Friday.
Yeah.
You can't miss all those sales.
No. And they've done releases for Halo. Let's see. ODST was a November release. Wasn't Halo...
Nope. ODST was September 22nd. Halo 2 was November 9th.
Okay, I knew Halo 2 was. Reach was September. Halo 3 was September. What was Halo 1? Was Halo 1?
Yeah, Halo 1 was 15th.
Right. Yeah.
So yeah, the closest was Halo 2. After right. Peter Moore got it tattooed on his arm. Remember that? That's it.
I guess that's true, yes. So, yeah, we have a November release date. And it's confirmed. No more guessing. I was looking at the forums, the Waypoint forums, that is, yesterday.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, I hate to say it, you know, being that I help moderate them, along with Age of Empires, so that's a totally different thing, but Waypoint forums are a mess sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Especially, I mean, whenever I go through the forums, I keep Halo 4 as the last one.
Yep.
So I read that.
Practice.
I read through all the other ones, and once they all get read, I go to the Halo 4 one, and I dig through as many of them as I can.
You, sir, are a stronger man than I. You have to... when I see him, and it's just so much whining and bickering. But you know what? It's passionate people. It's a passionate group.
Right. Well, unfortunately, the way forum culture is that you're going to hear more from the people that have issues with something.
Well, yeah, because everybody else is out enjoying their day.
Right. And it's not that these people are necessarily wrong in their opinions. It's just some of them...
present them in the wrong way.
Right. Do not present them in a mature fashion, so to speak. I can't think of another word that aptly describes it without being offensive.
It's the internet, you know? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
The internet gives you plus 20, plus 10 strength, so you can do whatever you want. You know you're generally not going to run into anybody.
Yeah.
I guarantee, though, if the internet ran into me and you in real life, they'd be totally quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Just between our combined, probably like 500 pounds.
And then throw Miguel, Claude...
Oh, God, Claude. Is Claude taller than you?
I think he might be, like, maybe a half inch taller than me. Like, we need to, at PAX Prime, stand back to back with our shoes off and see who's taller.
Because what are you pushing? 6'5", 6'6"?
6'5", yeah.
So between the three of us, there's close to 19, or no, there's like 19 and a half, just about feet of just beast.
Yes, indeed. It would be a frightening sight to see. I don't know, I don't think all three of us were ever together at Halo Fest at the same time. But have that and then just have Jess standing in the middle as bodyguards.
Oh, jeez. She would disappear.
Yeah, basically.
Her and Grim Brother one. And the rest
yeah,
of them.
Yeah, sorry, Jeff.
I'm not sorry. Just few men dared to dream.
Yeah, there's a few other shorties in that group as well. But I digress. So yes, November 6th is the release date of Halo 4. So go and pre-order your copy from your preferred retailer of choice, being that Amazon, GameStop, wherever you can pre-order Halo 4.
That's a midnight launch.
I'll be going to a midnight launch.
Ooh. Oh, you have to.
They should have another like huge one in Times Square or something like they did for Halo 3.
They probably will.
They've got
Master Chief, and I like how they had the guys riding on those mongooses through the streets. That was cool.
The thing is, I'm probably going to take that day off of work. I'm probably going to just...
Wow, look at you, Mr. Mega Halo fan over here.
I already sent my boss an email. I told her, I was like, yeah, I'm coming down with the flu. I think we're going to take November 6th off. Just wanted to let you know.
That kind of refers to one of the Red vs. Blue videos that came out today, too. Yeah,
that's exactly why I did it.
Yep. I need November 6th off because during that time, I think flu season's going to be riding strong, and I'm going to be sick. But
no, I guarantee you, like, two-thirds of my work is going to be gone for that one. They have to be.
I would assume all of your work would be gone, except for maybe, like, five people.
That's true. Hopefully so. Hopefully that's the case.
I wouldn't be surprised if Microsoft shut down for a day.
Great. It should be a holiday, goddammit.
What, Halo Day?
Yes, Halo Day should be a holiday, especially at Microsoft.
Yeah, you'd think at Microsoft campus it would be a holiday. I don't know. All the things that we wish to happen with our favorite franchise.
So I've got a question.
Unfortunately, that's not how the world works.
Yeah.
But it should work like that.
So where are you going to pre-order from? Whoever's got the biggest release or what?
I honestly don't know.
Because you're in D.C. now, right?
Yes.
So what if they do something in Times Square? You going to drive up for it?
Actually, I was thinking about doing that, yeah. I was thinking about either taking the train up there or... I mean, I could drive. The drive is 3 hours. It's a lot better than the drive to Boston.
That's true.
I'm not doing that again. That was hell. It took me 6.5 hours to get back.
That's not bad.
Not bad, but it's kind of bad when you get in at 5 a.m. and then you have to wake up at 7:30 to go to work the next day.
That sounds like personal scheduling problems.
Well, I mean, I was planning to leave earlier, and then you guys decided to do dinner or something, and I'm like, oh, well, screw it.
So it's our fault?
Yes, but in a good way.
Okay, I can take that. But yeah,
I was happy I stayed, because we had a good time.
Always.
And I have to say, I bought some Gunner glasses, and this, I guess, is a shameless plug for Gunner, but they really helped at nighttime with my driving. Like, my eyes definitely did not get as tired as I would have if I was just staring down the freeways with the oncoming lights. I mean,
With all those 5-hour energies they were handing out at PAX.
Well, see, I don't drink 5 hours, so.
Oh, that's right. You were too busy recording us drinking the 5 hours.
Well, I just don't believe in the whole energy drink thing.
Oh, neither do I. But no, that's good. So if there's New York, if there's a Times Square launch, you got to be first in line because you have to beat me.
You're going to fly all the way out to New York?
No, hell no. I'm going to the Seattle launch.
Then what are you talking about and me having to get in first in line?
I'm just saying I'm going to be first in Seattle because that's what generally happens. That's what always happens. That's my claim to fame.
Right, but I'm not going to be able to just go out and take Monday off to line up.
Well, you know, you got to get your priorities straight.
Well, right now, getting income is kind of a priority.
Okay, all right, I guess.
He's on the government dole. Yeah,
being just out of college and...
Touché.
He's on the taxpayer's dime, so to speak.
Yes. I mean, if I didn't have a job, yes, I would be more than happy to go the Sunday before and line up for the release of Halo 4 and just have a laptop with, if they have power outlets, just hook it up.
And see, that's what I'm worried about now is every year has gotten crazier for me.
Sure.
Well, because there's
not like necessarily... how early would you have to go out in order to ensure that you got first spot? And would they let you camp out?
Depends on the place and depends on the venue. We can run through the whole shebang. For instance, there was one time where I definitely wasn't first, and that was the Halo 3 launch, and Bungie and Microsoft decided to do their big release at Best Buy in Bellevue. I happened to come across Seahawks tickets that were not only in the end zone suite, but we had field passes as well. The game was at 1 p.m. on a Sunday. So we went, and this is obviously, so what, the game came out on the 25th, so this is Sunday the 23rd.
Mm-hmm.
Got to be the fourth quarter, and we're like, man, we just want to go in line. I didn't live far from the Best Buy, so we were just going to do shifts. Snuck out of there as soon as we could, as soon as we knew the Seahawks were going to win. I got down to Best Buy probably at about 4:30, which was 10 minutes after the first kid lined up. And so that was Sunday the 23rd.
Yeah.
So that was a full, 32 hours or, 31 and a half hours before the game released.
Yeah.
But lately what's been happening the last 2 years, or not the last 2 years, the last two launches for Reach and for ODST,
mm-hmm.
Bungie, Microsoft, 343, they've been doing a release party. They didn't do it for anniversary, though. They did a release party at the Experience Music Project, which is downtown Seattle near the Space Needle, like literally right next door. The EMP has special rules that say you're not allowed to line up until day of.
Mm-hmm.
ODST event, they made it 5 a.m. For the Halo Reach event, they made it midnight. Luckily, I had a friend who lived blocks away from EMP, so I kind of just took my car and parked it outside of it, and I went and tried and line up, and they kicked me off the property. So what we ended up doing is finding out exactly where their property line ended and camped out there. Like literally right where the line ended up.
You are hardcore, dude.
But see, now I don't know if I can do that. So now at the beginning of this year, I got my job with Microsoft and now I'm going to look like a plant. Like I'm going to look like a publicity stunt.
But you've done it before, and I'm sure there's like other people that you've seen there before that have been like loyal first one or.
Oh, there's plenty I can think of. There's Kevin, there's Leia, there's tons of people that I can think of. It's just, boy, it's getting ridiculous, Like Halo Fest, I slept outside with just a blanket with all the bums downtown Seattle just to be first in line. And while it's great to gloat and say I was first, at the same time, it's like you have those moments where you're waiting outside like, man. What in the world is going on? Like, why am I outside right now? I could be asleep in a bed, but I'm camped out here. So we'll see. I don't know what's going to happen, and it kind of depends on the troops I can rally.
Right.
If I can get a bunch of people and we bring down a generator and we all go at once, sure. But if it's going to be me and a couple others, whew.
Yeah. And you're going to pitch a tent?
Well, okay. Fortunately, too, between Halo Fest, the Halo 3 launch, the Halo 2 launch, ODST, all that, it's never rained.
Really?
Yeah, and I'm in Seattle, and all you guys will be like, oh my god, that's crazy. But it's seriously, it hasn't rained. So
the Halo gods are with us.
I'm hoping with this one being in November, I'm like, please don't let it rain. Please don't let it rain. Otherwise, yes, I will literally be pitching a tent.
Dang.
But you know what? The experience is so great, I'll probably do it anyway.
Yeah.
I sit here now and doubt myself, but it's fun. You get to be around. It's like PAX. You're around a bunch of like-minded people, and you're sitting there, and you're telling stories to each other, and you see people that you know, people you're familiar with, and then the employees start to trickle in. Like, it's a great time.
So do people ever, like, bring game consoles and TVs and stuff? I'm assuming that's another big thing that happens, too.
Yes, actually.
Like generators?
One of the reasons why I love, you know, Bungie so much is when they did the ODST launch, I happened to get a copy of the game early from Newegg when they had that whole fiasco where they sent them out, like, 2 or 3 weeks early.
Oops.
Had I played the campaign? Yes, I had finished the campaign. I obviously played through the multiplayer levels and whatnot. But me and some of my buddies have a tradition where we always just have like a mini LAN where there'll be 4 to 8 of us in a place and we'll set up a couple of games and, you know, everybody will bring their TV. So I had my TV in the trunk of the car and I also had my Xbox and I was just ready to go straight from the event to, well, they didn't sell the game there. So I had to go from the event, which ended at 10, to the store, which opened at midnight, yada, yada, yada. Anyway, as we're sitting outside, Brian Gerard, well, Sketch, and Eric Osborne, Ert, came up, and he was talking to me about something, and I made a comment about having the game and having my console in my car. And he goes, "You want to play it?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Oh, we can run an extension cord out here for you guys." He's like, "Me too, right?" And I was like, "Son of a bitch, no way." So, wow. Yes, we played, and I was like, "I don't want to show off your guys' game that you're about to show off." They're like, "Oh, we don't care." So I was a jerk and made people only play the levels that had been previously viewed. Mm-hmm. And so the same thing happened for Halo Reach. So yes, there are people with consoles. When we did Halo Fest, there's somebody, Sean, that came down. Once he found out I was in line, he's like, "Are you down there?" "Yep, I'm here." "Cool." He called his buddies and we lucked out to be right by an outlet. They brought down 2 like 23-inch monitors and 2 Xboxes. And we had a little, you know, mini Halo LAN all night.
Dang.
Shoot.
So there you go, people.
There's so much support throughout the community. At the Halo Reach event, we're sitting up there and it's probably 3 in the afternoon. The event wasn't supposed to start until something like 7. And right. This pizza guy shows up and he's like, he points at me. He's like, "Are you Kevin?" And I was like, "No, I'm not Kevin." And he goes, "Well, got all these pizzas for Kevin." I was like, "You know, I'm not Kevin." And they're like, "Well, these guys from Rooster Teeth told me to look for Kevin, who would be first in line." I was like, "What? Rooster Teeth?" They're like, "Yeah. We thought it was a joke, but somebody ordered 20 large pizzas and told us to look for this guy at the front of the line." And I was like, "Well, Kevin was actually in the bathroom. His name's Mr. Kevin Hurd, also known as Call 911, You Need Help." But moral of the story is, Rooster Teeth sent us about 20 large pizzas. Like, it was a, "Hey, we know you guys are in line. Enjoy your time." So, yeah, these events are great.
Wow.
You get the support back in you.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So, see, people, you camp out, you get good stuff.
Let me not promise that. Like, I'm fortunate enough to live in the city where the large launch events always take place.
Right. Well, and this really only happens in, like, the large metropolitan areas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can have New York, Seattle. I'm sure Houston has one with the Microsoft store now down there.
Well, the Microsoft store and to have Rooster Teeth down there. Close-ish. Right, in
Austin, yeah.
And then L.A., I'm sure, too.
L.A. is probably another big one. Chicago, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, it's a large metropolitan area, but...
Maybe one of the cities down in Florida. Like, maybe Orlando.
I'm sure Jeff would love that. Tampa? No? Yeah?
Tampa? Possibly, yeah. Somewhere in California? San Diego or...
Well, I mean, if you've already Los got Angeles? LA, you could...
All right. Yeah.
But who knows? I have no idea
what
their budget is, what they're planning on doing, but it's got to be huge, right?
Well, yeah. I'm hoping that they better be pushing this more than Halo 3.
Yeah, I was like, if it's 5 years later, it's got to be bigger than Halo 3.
It's got to be, yeah.
I'm looking right now at my Halo 3 Slurpee cups.
Like, we're going to see Halo 4 Gamer Fuel at some point, right? We have to see Halo 4 Gamer Fuel.
We have to. I think we'll be in shock and awe of how much stuff is released in anticipation of this game launch.
I mean, come post E3, I'm sure they're going to show a significant amount of stuff at E3. So post E3... we're probably going to start seeing a lot of promo stuff, would be my guess.
I am desperately trying to get into E3.
Oh, good luck to you.
Oh, Whew. We'll see.
All right. So along with the announcement of the November 6th release for Halo 4, two Red vs. Blue videos came out to accompany the release date. And they're just typical Red vs. Blue fashion with the comedy. And I believe in one instance it was Griff trying to get off sick days for the release of Halo 4. So that kind of reflected on what you said earlier, Rukari.
I've already requested it.
Yeah, I'll be requesting mine at some
point. I can already feel the bug.
It's the flu, man, I tell you. And then the other one was basically Sarge trying to do math on how to remember the date for November 6th. It's kind of funny.
That was one of the greatest moments in Red vs. Blue, to watch the math pop up on screen.
Yeah. 4 plus 4 is 8!
Yes.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. And then there were 3 Halo games, and 8 plus 3 is 11. Then that's November.
What's funny is I could just imagine the writing process that went behind it. And I can see it being ad-libbed a bit.
Yeah, I'm sure that whole... I mean, they do so much with ad-libbing. I would be surprised if 3/4 of that stuff that they put in there wasn't, like, ad-libbed at some point. Or it was a change from the original dialogue. I mean, that's just how witty and fast-paced Rooster Teeth just thinks about things like that. And that's why I think they're one of the reasons they're one of the best. Well, I don't know if you can really call them machinima anymore since they have dipped into animation, but a web sci-fi series, that's the reason why they're one of the best. So if you haven't seen those, one is in the bulletin, or the one that's in the bulletin is on Warhouse, right? That's the map, Warhouse.
Can you remember? Yeah, I mean, it's a temporary name. Like they right. said, it's placeholders, but yeah.
Warhouse. Right. Isn't that the manufacturing facility, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the big mech in the middle that unfortunately will not be playable. I find that kind of disappointing because I thought that would have been like a, you know, a pretty clever hint right there.
Yeah, I would have thought that would have been interesting as well.
Yeah.
And...
because they have those mechs in Halo Wars and stuff, right?
Right, well...
Or similar mechs, at least.
What really confuses me, and we'll get to this a little bit later, but why do they have a mech being built if it's in a virtual reality?
I think it's just for, like, the, you know, the...
just aesthetics?
Yeah, the aesthetic of it, right? Just, oh, this is, you know, completely replicate the environment as, you know, perfectly as possible.
Yeah, it could be a real environment somewhere else that's just replicated for
all right.
this training program.
Well, in a training program, I would think you would have something yeah. that would more resemble obstacles that you want people to train around, not necessarily, I don't know, it just seems a little odd in my...
Well, use the excuse that you're not going to, if you're fighting for real in the field, you're not going to just be around stuff that you'd want to
train. Yeah, They need to have them train around like realistic, like unnecessary objects like that. Yeah, and I think it said in the Game Informer article that everything that the virtual reality, you know, simulator generates is like based off like an actual place, right? Like the data from an actual place.
True.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the one in the bulletin is for Warhouse, and then Wraparound. There's another video that RVB released. I'm not sure where it's in a separate post on Waypoint. And
yeah, they did too.
There's a link on like they've tweeted it out a few times. Oh, here it is.
It's in the bulletin, isn't it?
There's one in the bulletin, but then there's another one. Oh, here it is. Save the date. So yeah, it's on the main news feed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
It's not on the blogs thing, but if you do the news feed, both of them are up there right now as separate posts, and then the Warhouse one is embedded in the bulletin. So, I mean, that's pretty much that. Are there any specific comments about it? I mean, we saw a little bit more of the maps, I guess, but nothing really stuck out to me in terms of what they're bringing new to the plate in the Halo 4 multiplayer perspective.
What do you mean bringing new? Just like
I mean, it's just the maps. I didn't see anything else that stuck out.
Like a new mechanic, like a new playing style,
or just in terms of like stuff that you would see in multiplayer. I mean, it just looks like pretty standard maps.
I don't think it was the purpose of the Red versus Blue videos. I mean, that was just for comedy and for promotion and whatnot. You know, it wasn't a multiplayer trailer. And yeah, we don't know the layout of the maps. We haven't played the maps ourselves. You know, there could be a kind of, you know, a flow to like a unique flow to each of them. You know,
yeah. Well, I mean, if 343 is anything like Bungie, which they are, there's always going to be some hidden thing inside the videos that they do. And for the videos that they did for Reach, there was that tank in the background, and they were talking about how big Forge World was when we didn't know really how big it was. So.
Who knows? There might be something in there, but yeah. I know there's what feels like placeholders, because if you watch when a church is zooming in with a sniper rifle.
Yeah, that the HUD for the sniper rifle is very.
No, it's not the HUD. At one point it says range. You know how the sniper rifle tells you how far something is.
Yeah.
Placeholder text in there right now. At one time said all zeros. And another time just said 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 0.6.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that's not done, and, you know, like was stated earlier, this is just for promotion. There might be a little hint towards something else, but I don't know if they dropped a lot of visual hints.
Yeah, well, I mean, I was looking for stuff, and nothing popped out, so... It's just like them to sometimes drop hints in these promotional videos.
True. Uh-huh.
And I would think they would do stuff like Bungie did, where it's like it's subtle and discreet, and it might not pop out there at first glance, but with enough people looking at it, someone's bound to find something eventually.
Speaking of Forge World, man, I was so disappointed when I played the Forge World in Reach for real when they came out, and I discovered that you could not like go up to that Citadel Tower up there on that.
Yeah, that sucked.
I think that was kind of universal. Everyone was a little irritated. Like, you couldn't go into the Citadel. You could not go up there at all. You know, the slope, it wasn't really, like, there. You know, you couldn't play on it or delete all those trees. Because I thought that would be, like, a cool racetrack if you could have made some, like, curved angled, track on there or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well.
Yeah, the whole tower thing, I was hoping that would be accessible in some way or fashion.
Yeah, if it could be like a whole like interior, like a base or like something, I mean, that'd be like that would make the map like gigantic in scope.
Yeah, that would have been.
You could have made some like gigantic like aerial, you know, big team games on that or something.
Yeah, well, in hindsight, it would have been nice to see. I mean, even if they didn't develop much on top of it, just the ability to go out there and then build on top of it with Forge would have been nice as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just the fact that, I mean, the tower, you know, the tower aside, yes, the whole, that whole upper slope, like, going all the way from where the tower is to, like, the whole, that other beach all the way down there, right? It's like, you can't even, like, really go on any of that.
Yeah. Well, in my opinion, the whole thing about trying to restrict players to a certain area of the map should be done, like, this is for matchmaking, but it should be done on a per-map basis, not necessarily the base maps that you use for Forge. I would say a lot of the kill barriers that they had were really out of place, especially for Highlands. Highlands was notoriously bad for that kind of thing.
Mm. Yeah, the Forge function.
I guess it was the verticality, but I never used Jetpack, so I have nothing to worry about. But yeah, that's what I would hear people go about all the time.
But I mean, you have those climbing towers, and it's like some people, I'm sure, could have used that in some of their game types. And for, I mean, I had some ideas for that you could even use machinima with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But you really can't do that because there are soft kill barriers hard coded into those maps. And to me, that's kind of one of those things that shouldn't have been hard-coded, and it should have been placed in there in Forge for the matchmaking variants.
Yeah.
That's just
It seems like Reach's DLC overall was not nearly as fleshed out as it should have been, and it was not as long-lived as it should have been.
Well, Reach was
not as popular as it should have been, right?
That well, that,
the numbers. Well, depending on how you want to look at the numbers.
Yeah, it's
with the amount of units it sold.
It's hard for Halo Reach since it's not Master Chief. I don't think it got nearly as much of a draw. And
well, the that's single player though. That's canon. I mean, I mean mainly on a multiplayer kind of level. I mean, just the multiplayer popularity was nowhere. I don't think anywhere near as big as Halo 3's was in its prime.
Right? Yeah, but I think one of the reasons for that is because, again, this goes back to a discussion that we had a few episodes ago, but all the multiplayer maps for Halo Reach was based on something in the campaign.
All right.
Where in all the other games, most of the maps were based off of
just original ideas.
Original ideas specifically built for multiplayer, and I think that's one of the reasons why multiplayer in Reach was not necessarily as enjoyable as it was for Halo 2 and Halo 3.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I think some of those gameplay mechanics, because, like, me personally, when I look back, like, on Halo 3, I'm like, that was an awesome game. Multiplayer, well, I mean, overall, but, like, multiplayer, that was an awesome game that I played for a very long time.
Yes.
When we look back on Reach, and I think this is, like, a lot of people feel like this. So, yeah, feelings of Halo 3, universally positive, but then people look back on Reach, and it's like, that was also an awesome game, but it was often kind of, what's the word?
Second thought.
I don't want to say ruined, but a little, you know.
It was kind of an afterthought.
It was a little screwed up by things, dumb things like armor lock, basically. It was a rose with thorns, right?
Yeah. Well, armor lock is one of those things where, yeah, in hindsight, probably could have been done a little bit different, but I mean, Bungie at least tried some new things. So, I mean, take armor lock for what it's worth. Yes, we know it's not that great of an armor ability in some respects, but I mean,
I would maybe mention active camo. I think active camo is like the second most hated armor ability, just because like mainly the radar jammer and like the camping and all that.
Yeah, but active camo has been in the game since Halo.
Yeah, but it's not something you could just have at any time. It wasn't a power-up you just picked up. That was a lot more balanced, actually.
True.
That was way more balanced.
But, I mean, I guess that could be its whole...
And it didn't jam the radar, either. You could still... Halo 3 guy picks up the invis. Yeah, he's invisible, but you can still see him on your radar unless he's crouching. It doesn't jam the radar unless you hit the radar jammer. That's, like, so rare.
I mean, the whole radar jamming thing makes sense to a degree.
Yeah.
It
gives them away, and it also can kind of mess, you know, you can use that person that has active camo to mess with the opposing team. And you would figure those two things would go together.
It's usually things that's usually pretty easy to figure out where the camo guy is. You just don't know exactly where he is. So, I guess at that point, the whole radar jamming thing is more of an alert than, well, I take that back. People who, veteran Halo players will be able to figure out where the camo guys are, where some newer players or players that don't really play competitively will probably freak out a little bit more about having their radar jammed. So, I don't know. Uh-huh. In most parts, it's a balancing issue. In other parts, it's...
See, I think we're being part of the vocal minority right now because people play Reach and people like Reach and people bought Reach. Yeah. Do you remember the post on Bungie.net recently? Kind of when they were saying goodbye and getting ready to do their final little handoff to 343, just at the end of the stat tracking period. Where they did, you know, September 9th, 2004, Halo by the numbers, and how it was 20 billion games, almost 21 billion games. And if you went by title and by time, Reach was the most played. Halo 3 and ODST had a combined 11.5 billion of those games played by title. Reach has 3.9 billion. Halo 3 and ODST had been out for 77 months. Where Reach was only accounted for 15 months of that.
Hmm.
And then the average per month for Halo 3 and ODST is 221 million. Now that number gives more credit to Halo 3 because they were stretched out over 77 months when Reach is 263 million. You know, it's 42 million more. but over a shorter time period.
Right.
It's a good game. People enjoy it. I've always had this theory as to why people think that each game iteration has gotten worse in the sense of numbers and whatnot. And it's just been, you know, when Halo came out, that was the game to play. There was nothing else on Xbox. You had a great time with your friends, and the community and the atmosphere was so much fun that you wouldn't trade anything for it. Xbox Live came out. Halo 2 came out. With Halo 2, you were able to play away from people. Now, there were still the LANs, but you had your parties and you did everything that you could. But it kind of started to pull people apart. But Halo 2 was still the game that you played. I mean, what else was out on Xbox Live at that time besides Rainbow Six?
Crimson Skies.
Crimson Skies was on there. There were a couple, but then you go to Halo 3. 2 months after Halo 3 came out, Call of Duty came out. Modern Warfare.
Right.
Yeah. That was the big kind of...
That was a big
hit. That was a big hit.
But now we're at Reach, and now we're years later, and there's what drags me out. I haven't played my Xbox in probably about a month. I haven't played a multiplayer game. I finished Gears of War. That might have been 2 months ago. But I'm stuck on Hulu, Netflix, ESPN app. Like, I do so many things on my Xbox. And the same goes with my friends. I look at my friends list right now. Actually, let me turn on my controller and see. I can guarantee you it's going to be MLB TV, Netflix, Hulu. People are playing other things. We've grown as a gaming community.
Yeah.
That's really gaming, though. I mean, that's more of a multimedia community at that point.
Yeah. Yep, well, there it is. I've got somebody on Windows Media Center right now. That's how ridiculous this is.
I think Halo 2. Well, then it didn't have as much staying power, right, as we thought. Because I get what you're saying. Like, there were other things that popped up, like Call of Duty. But I mean, there's people that went to Call of Duty. I mean, they obviously didn't love Halo as much as people who stayed with Halo, like, up to now.
It doesn't mean you don't love Halo. It just means you found something else that you love. Like, I love basketball. I'll go play basketball every day of the week, but there was a point where I started to play football, and I was like, man, this is kind of fun, too. Doesn't mean that my love for basketball died. I just found something else that I also enjoy. Even when it gets sunny out, I'll go play golf.
Yeah.
Rukari playing
golf? I think a part of it is just like, I feel like Halo 3 was such a superior game to Modern Warfare 1, right? I mean, Modern Warfare 1, I mean, it was impressive, yeah, but I mean, almost so simple, right? Like, no vehicles, you know, just kind of small maps, like on foot, little, like, wars, and no theater mode, right?
It was different, and it was fresh, and it was also well taken, you know, better taken worldwide, and it was multi-platform.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of things. I mean... There's so many different things that'll go into determining the success or a failure of a game. Halo 3 in no way failed. I don't think Halo Reach in any way failed. I don't think it's even fair to compare the two because it's like trying to compare a basketball player like Bill Russell from the 1960s to one now. Because that's how quick technology moves. You know, back in the 60s, you weren't allowed to dunk in the NBA. Now there's people jumping over people in games. So... it's tough to compare the two, and sometimes I don't feel it's fair to do so, but I think they're both equally great games, and sure, each one has its shortcomings to me. There were times where I get killed in Halo 3 by a needler that only hit me with 3 needles, and it broke me batshit. I still have saved clips of it, but that's just me defending Reach right now.
Uh-huh.
I still believe it's a good game.
Oh, it's fantastic.
It's a good game.
I think also a little bit of it is Halo, you know, being sci-fi versus Call of Duty, the realistic, you know, the military shooter.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that the realist military shooters are a little more casual friendly because a lot of them, you know, they're not going to feel like nerdy, I guess, right, playing it as opposed to maybe Halo, which is nerdy. Of course, we think it's awesome, but other people, maybe not so much.
That was the one thing I always loved about Halo when I explained to people why I preferred that over Call of Duty, even though sometimes I'll take the break from Halo to go play Gears of War or Call of Duty. But I'm like, in Halo, I feel like I have a chance all the time. There's always a way to counter. Call of Duty, if somebody gets the drop on you, you're pretty much dead. Halo, somebody can pop your shields, and if they've messed up and need to reload or whatever, there's time for you to react, move around, and recover. It doesn't matter who shoots at you first, unless, of course, they got rockets and they better kill you. But that's the one thing I've always loved about Halo. It just, it gave me a chance to recover.
I think Halo's a lot more diverse in terms of compared to Call of Duty, and it's a lot more complex in terms of the storyline, the things that you can do in multiplayer with the custom games, the Forge, the theater, and all that stuff. You know, the Halo universe is a rich universe compared to...
That's true. The universe is probably the best thing I've ever seen. Even might even be better than Star Wars to me. There's so much, and I'm just like 140 pages in the Cryptum right now. I just started reading it a day or two ago, and there's tons of stuff, and obviously Call of Duty can't always do that, but I enjoy the Call of Duty story. Like, I think too many people focus on comparing it rather than enjoying it for what it is. It's not a measuring contest. Enjoy both. They're both good.
Yeah.
Same with gear.
It's almost gamer culture at this point.
Yeah. I guess it's in any culture you have to compare to, you know.
A standard.
Dog, yeah.
To some kind of standard, yeah. Ugh. It's, I mean, it's annoying, it's just, but it's kind of the nature of the beast.
True.
In a way.
I think a lot of it's just like, we don't like seeing Call of Duty as the king, because we feel like Halo is just so much more cultured and just has a richer, you know, richer universe and a richer fan base, as opposed, you know, to like what we see, like, the Call of Duty fan base, you know, they might not be the nicest bunch sometimes, and...
But neither is Halo. Yeah. I don't want to say anything about them, because I'm not active in their fan base, but God, if you saw our Halo 4 forums and the I have to clean up, well, I should say Sam has to clean up, because she's working on it. It's... I feel like everyone's just as bad.
I don't know. I feel like Halo, I mean, every fan base can have its whiners and its, you know, whatever, its trolls, but Halo, like, I mean, you know, like us, like me and Dusty and like the other podcast people, like, you know, like I say, like, kind of cultured gamers, like, we actually, you know what we're talking about, as opposed to, like, Call of Duty, which has that bad bunch that every franchise has, and then it has a bunch of, you know, oh, I'm a smoke pot, man, I'm a wannabe gangster, and all that, you know, it's just, like, most people I've run into in Call of Duty lobbies are just, like, horrible.
I guess the way
it's in gaming, period.
The way that I think you can put it is that we're invested in the game outside of the game itself.
Very true. Yes. Yes.
I think that's kind of the definition that you're looking for, that we're cultured gamers. We enjoy Halo outside of the realms of the video game. Where in Call of Duty, it's a pissing contest a lot of the time.
I will admit that, you know, with the universe, like we were just saying, it's so deep and there's so much to dive into and there's so many freaking corners of the universe to, you know, hole up in. Yes, there is more in that regard. Definitely. Definitely.
Yeah.
But I don't want to take that to say we're
more superior,
cultured, or better. Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Right. I mean, Call of Duty has its pros and cons. So does Halo.
Yep.
In our opinion, we just think Halo has better outstanding grades than Call of Duty does. And I'm sure there's probably a lot of Call of Duty people who think the same way about Call of Duty.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
But, and I mean...
I wonder if there's the inverse of us right now. There's
some, I don't know. I mean, I've...
Call of Duty podcast, like, these Halo guys don't do that.
Well, what like, universe does it have? What, you know, franchise... Does it
like
have,
how much? How many people follow? Like, is there a deeper understanding to the story that Modern Warfare tries to bring across? I mean,
I have no idea
because I know it's very generic, you know, war action movie type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, when you're trying to do something like a realistic shooter like that, you're kind of limited on your creativity. Where with Halo, you have more than the world to give you in terms of being able to come up with stuff and develop stuff. And the fact that it's kind of near future sci-fi makes it, I think, easier to cope with, and why a lot of other people find it easier to relate to.
They could flesh out a lot in a Call of Duty universe per se if they wanted to, because think about the first game, or the first Modern Warfare, where that nuke goes off. Like, there's a... That just war period, I guess, would fascinate me. In the sense that they could make up whatever story they wanted. And the one thing that I love about Call of Duty if there were to be a story, I think it would feel a lot like Oni-type stuff. Like, so much behind the back, so much secrecy, you know, so much who's actually good, who's actually bad, like Soap and McTavish and all of them.
Right.
I feel like there could be if somebody fleshed it out. But that's what it would take, and I don't think with the rate that the games move and how quick they go, I don't think anybody's going to flesh that out. I think Call of Duty has taken the stance that we're going to put out a product that we know sells, and we're going to, you know, make sure we, not necessarily cash in, but make sure we just do that. That's going to be our strategy.
Right.
And that's their approach, so be it. Cool. But that's why Halo is so great, is because they have taken the time, and the community has taken it upon themselves to do these sorts of things.
Like, so,
eye in a fistful of arrows.
Yeah, that was fantastic. If you guys haven't seen the, what would you call it? It's not a comic.
Like a graphic novel?
Yeah, there we go, graphic novel. Make sure you go check it out. It's leviathan.bungie.org, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so check it out. It's really well done. You could almost think of it as canon, even though it's not technically canon. But it's close enough and done really well to the point where you could almost think of that it's actually part of the Halo universe. Also, going on right now as we're recording this, Conan O'Brien is doing a little feature for Halo 4. And apparently we are probably going to see a few lines dropped from him at some part along Halo 4. At least that's kind of what we got from the video that we watched.
Possibly. I hope so. I hope it's what they recorded, like videotaped him recording.
Yeah.
Because he's
I mean, there's going to be some kind of cameo appearance. And I have a feeling it's going to be something similar to the way that they did the Rooster Teeth guys in Halo 3, where it's going to be in some part of the map, but you kind of have to go out of your way a little bit to find it. Or something kind of like the grunts at the end of Halo 1 and Halo 3. So I'm assuming it's going to be something like that that is going to be in there.
I need to get my voice in the Halo game.
I think we would all want our voice in the Halo game at some point.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And, I mean, depending on how long Halo goes and the position you're in, I'm sure probably all of you moderators on the Waypoint forums probably have your voice in at some point.
I wish. Don't get my hopes up. Don't you do that to me.
I'm just saying.
No. We enjoy the, you know, the fun that we have and get to interact and do those sorts of things and get to bother Jess all day, but
yeah.
No. Voices, well, leave those to the professionals.
Are you saying you're not a professional moderator?
I'm saying, oh, technically I am a professional moderator. That's what I'm paid to do. Not for Halo, before anybody jumps to any conclusions.
For another place, yes.
Yeah, but
another,
I mean,
another Microsoft place.
Yeah. The voice acting stuff, like, if somebody said to me, why don't you give a little more inflection? We're looking for this sort of tone. Like, look, I'm going to give you my tone. That's what you're going to get. You don't like it.
I mean, that's what kind of Conan did.
That's true.
So, you never know. It's possible. I mean, it's not outside the realm of 343 reaching into the community and pulling stuff. I mean, they did it for Rooster Teeth. They've done it for some other people.
You know, if they're listening, this would be a great idea. And yeah, maybe we should start with the moderators. Maybe the ones that live close. I don't know.
Ooh. Yeah, you can just walk into the studio and start dropping lines.
Speaking of which, I have to apologize to Jess, Veronica, Allison, David, and the rest of them, and Chris, because I took an offer and they weren't there, and I got reamed for it. Vic DeLeon invited me to lunch, so it was my birthday. Said, "Hey, let me buy you some birthday wing dome, some chicken wings." Cool. He said, "Yeah, I'm gonna grab a bunch of people from the, you know, a bunch of us from." The office are going. I was like, oh, great. In my head, that meant the community team, the people that I interact with most. Mm-hmm. Jess, Allison, David, you know, Veronica, even Dr. Mouse, Chris Buckley.
Right.
I show up. None of them are there. I tweet that I'm with Vic and some Halo Waypoint people, and I get messages from Jess, Chris, and Veronica. Like, oh, really? Halo Waypoint's there? Who's there? Who's there? And I was like, oh, shit. So, you know, Microsoft, they run.
That's not your fault, though.
Well, you know what? On one half, I could have said, hey, I'm going to this. Are you guys coming? I shouldn't have assumed. And Veronica went into this whole spiel with the word assume that I'm sure that we've all been through.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, it was just funny. You know, I just feel bad. I feel bad. They do so much for me that I feel bad that all I had to do was say, you know, jump on Instant Messenger and say, hey, going to get lunch. Want to come? It's like being in somebody else's neighborhood and not telling them you're there.
I guess that's true. I mean, it's still, I don't know if you could have really, I don't think it's technically your fault, but.
Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know. Veronica seems like one of those people, because the only time I've met her was at Halo Fest, so, I mean, she was all nice and everything. But she seems like the type of person that if you get on her bad side, you're having a bad day.
I don't know. All I've seen, besides the little, you know, half-ass joking rant she gave me, Veronica seems like one of the sweetest women in the world. Same with Jess. They're all nice.
Yeah. Jess I can squash, though. Don't tell her I said that.
What'd you say about her?
Nothing. Nothing. Oh. Nothing. I said nothing.
Okay.
I'm fired.
Dang it. We'll go back and listen to it.
I'm fired.
Okay, I got fired today.
Oh, did you?
Jess fires me on a daily basis.
Yeah. I don't think I'm fired that often, but I'm sure I get fired on a regular basis. I'm sure you guys pass my name around. It's like, this Duststorm character is causing a whole muck of trouble.
She threatens to ban me from the forums.
She was threatening to ban someone on Twitter a little while ago.
Sounds like something she would do.
I forget who it was, but yeah, like 2 or 3 hours ago, she was threatening someone on Twitter. Someone needs to give check the amount of power she has.
I don't think that's possible. She's like the grave mind right now.
Oh, gosh. Fueled by Frankie. That's a frightening thought.
I don't know. Who would you be most worried about in that studio?
I honestly have no idea. I mean, we...
Is it David? Do you fear the beard?
No, not really. David, in my opinion, is like a huge, lovable, huggable teddy bear.
You know what? I'm going to have to go with Conan on this one. I'm going to have to... It's Kiki. So you're a dragon slayer.
Right.
And you're a bartender.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to think on that one.
And you know what? Also, now that I think about it, that I was telling a story of me going to Vic, if you guys see these people or ever get the chance to interact with these people, understand that they are people and they are cool-ass people to just sit down and talk with.
Yeah.
Some of you may think, oh my god, this is the luckiest guy in the world. There's nothing that I did out of the ordinary to have this happen except for talk to people. Interact. Have a good conversation with them, and they will remember you, and it's the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah.
That's just my public service announcement, because that's how I'm pretty sure we all got to where we are. It's just interaction.
Yeah, it is. Well, even for me, I still look back at it and it's like, wow, how did I get so lucky? But yeah, there.
I was just
It's just like with anything else. Like even if you were to meet like a pro basketball player, most of them are pretty chill, and you go up to them and they don't act like they're ignorant or like, yeah, I'm awesome. But they're really humble and they are people just like everyone else. So, if you go to one of these events like PAX or Comic-Con, and if you go up to them and just strike up a conversation, they're not going to, like, just ignore you or anything. I mean, strike up a conversation and get to know them a little bit, and everything is kind of chill after that point. So.
That it is.
I mean, we're a little bit more privileged since we get to basically hang out with them behind closed doors and whatnot during our off times, but
what I'm saying is
it doesn't mean
because I talk to them.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that you have to be like, oh, it's such an honor to meet you or anything. I mean, yeah, it's nice to meet them, but don't feel like you have to suck up or anything just to get a word out of them.
I mean, that's the weird thing working for Age of Empires now is that whenever I go in game, you know, I have blue text in the chat box and everything like that, and it's just a PC game, but I get people, do you want to play me PvP? Oh my god, I can't believe I'm in here with a mod. And I'm like, really? Really?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here listening to some music playing this game. I was like, I'm nobody special.
Yeah. So. But yeah, definitely come out to... Well, if you're planning to go to something, or if you haven't gone to something before, PAX East is coming up in...
Yeah, PAX East is coming up next year.
Sorry. PAX Prime, wow. PAX Prime is coming up probably again at the end of August, beginning of September.
Yeah, it's the 32nd. It's Labor Day weekend.
Really?
Yep.
I get Monday off. Sweet! All right, that works perfectly. I'm buying my tickets whenever they first come out. Awesome. That means I can stay the Sunday night without having to worry about anything.
That's very true.
Oh, yes.
Even though it's probably going to be a pain to fly out Monday, or a costly pain, like in your wallet.
Well, that's why I'll get my plane tickets as soon as I can.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's one of the nice things. I could technically already go ahead and get my plane tickets if I wanted to. And probably get them for cheap. I could probably get my round trip, like, for $200 or something.
That's not bad at all. From D.C.?
Oh, that's right. So that'd be one connection. So it'd be $400.
Oh, okay. Jesus.
I messed that up. One leg flights are typically about $120 on Southwest. If you buy them early enough. But yeah, come out to PAX Prime, because that's where 343 Industries is based out of.
And you got to think about it. They're going to be what? 2 months away from the release of Halo 4?
Yeah, there's going to be... right? It's not going to be like a Halo Fest thing, I'm sure, but there's going to be a big 343 presence to promote Halo 4. So,
Oh, I can't wait.
Like, there are going to be consoles set up to where you can probably play through the maps they have shown or will have shown up to the point of PAX Prime. Playable on the floor somewhere, so.
I wonder how many that's going to be. I mean, I'm not saying if they'll have anything shown or set up.
Yeah.
I wonder how many maps we're going to see by that point. Because over the last, ever since March 5th or whenever that embargo finally lifted, we've gotten a buttload of information.
Yeah.
In the past 6 weeks, we've got a sneak peek at the music. We had the behind the scenes on the development.
We still have the music to talk to about in this show.
Yeah.
We've had, like, three big dumps of information with little tidbits just falling out here and there over the past month, right?
Yep.
So, in my opinion, we're starting to get out of that realm of the non-information. Like, it was a big thing for a while, especially when they first announced had the big announcement for Halo 4. But I finally feel like we're getting out of that stage. And that 343 is slowly starting to let stuff leak out and actually give us some hard facts about the game.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
So, good job, 343.
Well, I mean, that's not like good job. It's just something that we all had to sit on and wait for.
Yeah, but I mean, everyone else is like, finally.
No, they learned how to be an actual game development studio now. Yeah, I mean, so good job. A round of applause.
Oh, yeah. That I would definitely say.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're letting out a big, huge sigh of relief now that they can finally talk about
something. Some of this stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm sure they're happy. I'm sure a lot of the community's happy. I don't know. I haven't looked at the forums since the information came out. I'm sure you've been busy as hell this afternoon, Rukizzle, with you and your moderator staff.
You know, about 500 emails a week.
Just turned into 500 emails a day.
No, it doesn't get that bad. Luckily, we're, you know, We don't necessarily do everything by committee, but if there's ever a question, you know, we send it up to the group, and we're always chatting. There's always somebody on.
I think I was one of those topics of discussion this weekend.
But I mean, like, shoot, right now there's 300 people in the Halo 4 section.
Yeah. So it's pretty big. Pretty big news. Final things in the Waypoint Bulletin before we let this show ramble on for so long is there's some behind-the-scenes Q&A that wasn't done in the video, the Conan O'Brien video that they posted up on the Waypoint Bulletin. Custom challenge of the week has to do with the Spartan laser, and it is, I believe, just amount of kills that you get with the Spartan lasers. So if you load that up with a custom challenge, you will get 10 times the usual multiplier for using the Spartan laser. So firefight would be the big one for that. What campaign maps use the Spartan laser?
I can't even remember. I really can't remember.
Doesn't Exodus use it on the... No, that's Rockets. Shoot. What campaign does use the Spartan laser?
You get it. No, it is Exodus. Or no. Yeah. Is Exodus the one in the Falcons?
No, that's New Alexandria.
Okay, so it is Exodus. Because I know I always save it to, like, fight some of those last brutes before I get in the Falcon and go down
the brutes and the Wraiths?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So Exodus, I think, is the big one. There's a Spartan laser on the, what is it, the Last Stand? The very last mission, like the firefight-like mission. There's a Spartan laser in there. Is there a Spartan laser in... Oh, there's a Spartan laser in Pillar of Autumn at the very end.
Yep, you're right. There is.
And is there one on the package? I think it's that collection of the last few campaign levels that have the Spartan laser. I don't think we really see it at any other point in the game.
Hey, either way, just pick it up when you can and firefight.
Yeah, best way to do it is firefight. Even if you wanted to...
That was me. Sorry.
Oh, Twitter?
Yeah.
All right. Nope, no biggies. It's charging over in the corner, so I can't really look at it at the moment. Actually, this says campaign or custom firefight, so you can't do this in matchmaking firefight, apparently. So one way to do it would be to load up the if you have one, load up your million point custom firefight game type and just make the weapon the Spartan laser.
Yeah, that's true.
And just go crazy. That's one way to do it. One way to rack it up really quickly. And Super Jackpot for this week is Big Team Battle. Up to 20,000 credit bonus for completing a Big Team Battle game.
That's amazing.
Yeah, Big Team Battle is one of the more popular playlists, so...
Oh yeah, it's so much fun. I love playing it all the time, especially heavies.
Yes, I was so glad they brought that back.
Yeah, all the vehicles and power weapons and the... some of the Forge maps on there are quite good, actually.
I've actually never played BTB Heavy since it came out.
Well, we should play it sometime, Dusty.
Heavies on Highlands is so much fun.
Is it really?
Yes. Well, I don't know if they have it in matchmaking now, but you remember when the Defiant map pack first came out?
Yeah.
The week before it came out, and they handed out codes at PAX East or their preview events?
Uh-huh.
I nabbed one of those, and we were in a game with Mr. Vociferous, and he was like, oh, we want to try this out. Let's see if you guys like it. And it was heavies on Highlands. And to have that many rockets, lasers, sniper rifles, and like Gauss Hogs and vehicles, period, was freaking amazing.
Dang it, I wish I knew you back then, because I got a code and I really didn't know who else had the codes at the time.
Yeah, it was tough because there was no matchmaking.
Yeah. So I really didn't get to play matchmaking on the new maps that much. Or custom games at that point.
Ah, gotcha.
Before the rest of the people got it. I mean, I got to look around and see weapon placements, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You can only do so much when you're playing by yourself. So that's it for the bulletin. We have basically the launch date was what the big information that came out in the bulletin. Other things that got drizzled out over the past week was there was a video on Game Informer about some of Halo 4's multiplayer. And from that, we know that, what's the ship that they're on? Infinity?
Yeah, the UNSC Infinity, yeah.
The Infinity. Do we know what classification of a ship it is? Is it a frigate? Is it a,
Where's Jeff when you need him?
Yeah, where is Jeff?
It's the biggest ship in the whole fleet, so.
Right. So, it's just giant ship. And there's Spartan 4 is on here, and the multiplayer is supposedly a virtual reality training.
Think of a holodeck, like from Star Trek.
Yeah, holodeck would be a good way to put it. So that's basically what we're getting for Halo 4. Some of the UI elements from the video are still obviously being tweaked. Like some of the sounds, there are placement sounds in there, especially for the BR. It definitely did not sound like a BR. So there's a lot of placeholder things in there, but at least you get a sense of kind of the backstory behind the multiplayer and why they're doing some of the things the way they are. That didn't sound right. Why they're doing some of the things. Ah, whatever. You guys know what I mean. My brain is not functioning at.
What? I have no idea.
Hey man, it's all right.
My brain is like, I don't know. Something. I didn't get good sleep last night. I tossed and turned, woke up early. So my mind's a muck at the moment. But.
It is okay.
Thank you. I appreciate it. One game type that they really. Who is the guy in here that was talking? Brad Welsh. Yeah, Brad Welsh. Regicide was kind of the game type that they featured. And is it just me or does that just sound like Juggernaut with points added for kills? It sounded like Regicide was basically a Juggernaut game type. Did you guys watch the video up to that point?
Nope.
Oh. No.
Well, the video is going to be in the show notes for the rest of you guys. But he was talking about Regicide, where there was basically a king, and he's going to have a target over his head. And it's FFA style, where if you kill someone, you still get points. But there's also some special things with the king. As he gets more kills, something happens.
Maybe it is Juggernaut with, like, some tweaks, because if you...
Yeah, it sounds like...
Kills for killing, or I mean, points for killing other people, it takes away that stupid... Go for the Juggernaut, not me factor.
Right. So, but it sounds, because there's settings in Juggernaut where you can basically say if one person kills one person while they're not the Juggernaut, they still get a point. And maybe the Juggernaut gets 2 points when he kills someone. Or someone gets 2 points when they kill the Juggernaut. So it basically, it sounds like some of the stuff that they're doing for Halo 4 in terms of the naming convention, like Spartan Ops. There's a lot of people, and I think Jeff was the one that brought this up, but Spartan Ops sounds like Firefight for Halo 4. Regicide just might be a renamed element that's going to be the new quote-unquote Juggernaut for Halo 4. And we won't know until we have more information, but it sounds like they're taking some of the elements from the past Halo games, tweaking them, to make them their own style, and then sticking a different name on them. Does that sound kind of like an accurate assessment?
Yeah, definitely.
So, I don't think we're going to see too much of a difference. We will probably see some... Well, we are going to see some variance in the way some of the game types are done. Brad Welsh did say that a lot of the classic game types are coming back, like CTF, Oddball, well, he didn't say some of these specifically, but I'm sure Oddball is going to be back. I mean, Slayer is obviously going to be there. Territories will probably be there as well.
Look, just bring back everything that was in Reach except Headhunter and Stockpile.
Those two were my two favorite.
While Headhunter was frustrating, Headhunter Pro. Fun?
Yes.
Headhunter Pro, yes. Stockpile, I'm kind of sad to see that Stockpile didn't do so well. I thought it was a fun game type.
Man, it's kind of tedious. Oh, I gotta go here, gotta grab this, gotta walk back, gotta put it down. Oh, look, the guy just stole it from my pile, gotta go get it back from him. Like, it was just kind of tedious.
I would like it better if it had a capture time that wasn't a timer-based thing. Like, if you had to hold the flag in there for 5 seconds or 10 seconds. So that way somebody didn't just come steal your with 1 second to go.
So, yeah.
I was always that ass that would find a way back into the enemy's base and throw their 3 flags out right before they're about to score.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, that's how Stockpile maybe could have done better for me, in a sense, but I still enjoyed it. It was different. It was different. It got chaotic.
I mean, I remember playing it in the beta a lot, and it was one of the more popular game types. And Headhunter is just, I don't know, it's kind of a love-hate relationship, because I love the idea of Headhunter, but I cannot play Headhunter to save my life. Like, it's one of the most difficult game types. Trying to pick up those skulls and keep those skulls is one of the hardest things to do.
It worked for me. All I ever used was Sprint.
So, I don't know. I think it's mainly my play style, I guess, kind of goes against the grain of being able to play Headhunter. But I think Headhunter is a good game type. I think they should bring... I would like to see it back. The game types I would think are sure to come back are the ones that we've seen in each of the Halo games.
Think Rocket Race will come back?
I sure hope Race comes back. I mean,
yes. Yeah.
I know they didn't have it in Halo 2 and Halo 3, but...
3, kinda. They had Rocket Race.
I'm talking about, like, Race, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's been such a big community of the tracks for... Well...
Race, yes, but yeah.
I guess Halo 3 kinda had Race, although...
It was more so like zombies in Halo 2 where you had to play by the rules.
Yes. Exactly.
But wasn't that like didn't they do VIP for a race?
It was VIP.
Objective moved or whatever, yeah.
And I want VIP in Halo 4. VIP was fun to me.
Yeah, the whole escort thing.
Yeah, but maybe that's...
I never played it that much. It never got voted for that often. VIP, I think, would almost be a lot more prevalent in custom games. Like, if you were to do custom nights and get people in a LAN party, doing something like VIP would be a winner in terms of getting games going. I think it's almost hard to do in matchmaking because you have people with mics, you have people without mics, so the whole team dynamic of trying to protect the VIP is kind of lost. But when you have the custom games and you have that LAN party, you have that social atmosphere that's really conducive to that, to what VIP is.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if we'll see it. Granted, it would be nice to see every game type that Halo's ever had in here. But, I mean, do they have time to implement it all?
Or the space, or the... Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Totally understand.
And you have to think all these maps would have to support all these game types in some way or form. And from the two maps that we've seen so far for... Well, come to think of it, how does Boardwalk even support Race?
Boardwalk?
From Halo Reach.
It can maybe kind of do some cool stuff on there. I actually kind of think of it, you know. But there's lots of long, you know, places on it to drive the mongooses through and stuff, kind of wind around.
I'm curious now. I'm going to go into Reach after we're done, see what Race looks like on Boardwalk. Because I'm curious now.
Yeah, there's lots of stairs and, yeah. Yeah, there's tons of stairs in the map, actually. There's tons of levels.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh.
That's something I've never thought of before. And what about the, Reflection?
Oh, I hate the map.
I mean, that could work, yeah, but it'd be a little kind of like, cramped.
But I mean, like, all these maps have to support these game types, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a different kind of race. It may be just the race where...
Foot race?
Know, first,
each person has to get through the checkpoint instead of like a vehicle, because it's the person that has. Well, I think you might be able to set it up for both.
I am curious now. I am really curious. This is something that will have to be investigated. Anyways, was there anything else left from this video that I can think of? They did confirm that active camo, hologram, and jetpack are coming back as armor abilities in this video. Well, actually, did they confirm it somewhere else too?
I think they did before, right?
Yeah, it was whenever they were talking about the Forerunner vision, right?
Which was before this.
Yeah, when was that, and where was that? Was that part of the Game Informer thing?
Yes.
All right. That's where it was from. So, maybe we mentioned those in the last show? I can't remember if we mentioned it in Modtacular. But
I think it was, but I can't remember. But it's not like we can't briefly go over it again.
I mean, hologram, what's your guys' opinion on hologram?
I liked it. It was so much fun. Like, the first time I ever played the multiplayer at PAX, and I was talking with David Ellis. He was, you know, working the line, and he that was the first thing he said. He was like, wait till you try out hologram. It's so much fun to deceive somebody. And if you use it right, it can be quite entertaining.
Yeah.
And if you're smart enough, you'll know not to, you know, fall for some bullshit. But it's still funny to see people look at it and chase it down. And you know what? It feels like something that a soldier, and I said the same thing about, you know, Forerunner Vision when I heard about it. It feels like something that a super soldier 500 years in the future would have in his arsenal. If they can have a hologram of Tupac on stage of Coachella, Art can have a hologram of him running across the battlefield.
Okay. Fair point. But I'm not sure how I feel about Forerunner Vision.
I like it.
Really?
Yep.
How it should work is don't let you see too far away. Maybe a couple feet in front of you, just like to get the guy around the corner with a shotgun, and only let you use it for like a couple seconds, not that long of a time.
Yeah, imagine it being like what I would perceive it as, is something that's distance-based, where you might be able to see yay far, and God, or if they did it like visor mode, where you would see the outline of an enemy, right?
Oh, that'd be cool.
And you could see somebody, maybe not like directly see through the wall, but you could see that somebody's there, and then maybe the outline got fainter as they were really far away, so that way it's not too overpowered. Because imagine sitting in the middle of a level, and you have, you know, two guys using Forerunner Vision, and there's that map control aspect. Like, that's going to be what really kills people. Is this going to be a great way to know? There's going to be no camping.
To a certain extent. But, I mean, does that kill, like, some fundamentals of Halo? Because part of Halo is camping. I mean, it is a legitimate strategy.
Oh, it is. I'm always too impatient, though. But now there's a way to counter that legitimate strategy. And that was always my big thing with the armor abilities and reach. Everybody would say, oh, this is stupid, this is wrong, but everything is counterable. Every strategy is counterable. So it's like the most complex game of chess you've ever played. Oh, it brings into account a luck factor. I hate that argument because everyone deliberately chooses what they're going to use, and you can still be unlucky and run into the guy that has rockets 3 out of his 4 shots, whatever. But if there's Forerunner Vision, I'm sure there's going to be something, or I'm not sure, but there could be something that's a counter to that, you know?
Probably active camo.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe you can't see people with active camo, or maybe Forerunner Vision is the counter to active camo, and you can still see where they're at. Like, that's the one thing that's always been a chess game, and yes, it does change the core dynamic because it's so different, but I don't think it affects it too negatively. Just like when we were talking about the power weapons dropping, it changes things, but they're different, but it's something new and fresh to try.
I mean, one of the big things about people, or when people or developers make video games, is the whole balance issue. I often wonder sometimes, is it possible to balance something too much?
That's a good point, and it very well could be.
I mean, yeah, some of these strategies might be unfair, but it's like that's that a strategy that you have to balance, or is that a strategy that you leave in there for someone to utilize and use effectively against someone else who might not be as good?
And you know what? I'm sure that's something that they look at with their take-home tests. And I'm sure there's 25 things that they may have looked at for abilities that aren't in the game right now.
That's true.
You know, and I'm sure that's something like when they did their Halo 4 network test where they invited people into that. I'm sure they looked at things. Maybe something got scratched from there. Who knows?
That's true.
So I have faith. And, you know, this is coming from my experience the last 3 months working with an actual game developer. There's a lot that goes in that public doesn't see. And I know 343, and they have 250 people on their staff. I'm sure there are tons of things, and there are tons of people and tons of ideas. But, you know, I believe in their ability to kind of test and hash out and see what works.
Right.
And they want to deliver. They want to deliver.
They want to make a good game
out of this.
It's just a matter of will the majority of the fans agree, I guess.
It's always tough.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that when Halo 4 comes out, no matter how good or bad it is, people are going to compare it to Reach and say it's not as good as Reach.
And Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
The whole Halo versus COD thing is not going to...
Who was telling us the story about somebody necroed a bunch of posts on Bungie, and when Halo 2 came out, everybody was posting how much it sucked compared to Halo. When 3 came out, they compared 3 to 2 and said 2 was the best. When Reach came out, or even ODST, they compared it to 3. It's just been a continual cycle.
And I say it was Jeff that mentioned that.
It probably was, because he'd be the person to have that.
Yeah. I think it was Jeff. But yeah, you're right. I mean, as gamers, we don't like change. And as people get used to the change, then they're okay with it. So it's a weird dynamic, so to speak, about how gamers perceive things. And it's just taking time to get used to the new thing that's out there.
Yeah. And you just have to be open to change, which is tough to do. That's the toughest part.
Yeah.
Like, what we have to realize is that, God damn it, it's changed. Let's move forward.
Yeah. Take what you have and I mean, not to sound degrading or anything, but if you don't like it, go back to the previous game or go to another game that you enjoy playing.
Yeah.
I mean, if a game is bad, the community at large will speak up to the point that it's bad. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. If the minority thinks it's bad, then overall it's a great game for the majority, then the game is going to succeed.
Yep.
And, I mean, to all the people on the Waypoint forums that are complaining about Halo 4, Halo 4 is one of those games that is going to succeed.
Yeah. I get mad at is people complaining before, God, when we've got like 2 minutes or 3 minutes of combined gameplay. I was like, you can't form a judgment without at least putting hours into it. And that's why I'm trying to reserve my judgment until I get a chance to put hours into it.
Right.
I still think it'll be fun. I think I will enjoy it. I have that faith.
Yeah. It's gonna be all right.
I think Halo 4 will kind of be a new wave of popularity and interest in Halo. I think it'll end up being far more successful than Reach.
I hope so.
I feel like it'll have like more like a longer lasting DLC lifespan and just a multiplayer base, and it'll just like just of how much content it sounds like they're gonna offer up, like the Spartan Ops and like all the customization and stuff. So it's such a complex multiplayer experience, it sounds like so far.
Yeah. Well, it's the beginning of a trilogy, so I think that they're really gonna put a lot of time and effort to making sure that Halo 4 really brings back as much of the Halo feel as it can and get some of those older Halo players back into it as well. And they're going to support the lifespan of Halo 4, I think, to even more than they've done so with Reach, I think.
Absolutely. I think the Halo's popularity shooting back up will also be attributed to kind of Call of Duty's decay. I mean, you know, I don't care too much for it, you know, you know that, but I think Call of Duty's kind of on its way out. I think Modern Warfare 3 was where a lot of people said, okay, like, I really am buying the same thing every year. This is getting dumb. And
yeah,
okay. I mean, they could spice it up. Like, we'll see. But I feel like, I kind of feel like it's honest why, like, people are getting that sequel fatigue year after year with Call of Duty. Whereas Halo obviously is innovating and just looking better and better. And there's kind of like the wild card, like Battlefield thrown in there. But I mean, I think Halo can really give Call of Duty run for its money now with this, you know, the reinvigoration of the whole series with the new trilogy and all that.
I agree. One last thing we wanted to touch on before we wrap the show up was a video that was posted out on MTV about some of the behind the scenes of the music for the soundtrack and the sounds that we're going to be hearing in Halo 4. So there was a video put up, and it has a lot of different sound bites that are likely to be used in the game. They kind of showed a few of, how do you say his name? Neil Davidge?
I you know what? Until I hear it, I will never know for sure.
Davidge?
Might be Davidge. Didn't we do this on the last podcast?
Yeah, we did. We did.
Davidge? Davidge?
So, Neil, we'll just call him Neil. They showed some of the processes of him making some of the sounds that he uses. And we also got audio bits of a lot of the pieces of the soundtrack, and I got goosebumps. Like, there were homages to the old Halo soundtracks, and you could definitely tell that they're trying to keep as much of the old stuff as they can and putting their own flavor on it, and I think they're doing a really good job.
Yep, that's brilliant.
I mean, there were the parts from the other Halo soundtracks, it's like, yes, this is Halo. But there were the differences to it where it sounds like it's in a new world, in a new environment for this Forerunner trilogy. So, or Reclaimer trilogy, sorry. I need to get my terms right or else Jeff is going to come over and beat me up. So, for the Reclaimer trilogy, and for Halo 4, I think the music we're going to have is going to be very reminiscent of the stuff we've heard, and it's going to be great overall, I think. I mean, what do you guys think about the music?
I'm excited to hear it. Obviously, there are a lot of iconic tunes that I never realized that I picked up on. It's like memorizing a song, and you had no idea until you're singing the words. So there's a lot of tunes that I associate with Halo that I realize have been embedded in my brain. And I hope that this new score, this new set of music will have the same effect on me. Because usually I'm not a big musical type person.
Right.
But it definitely has an effect. Definitely does.
Daft, what do you think about the music? Or did you watch the video?
I have not watched the videos yet.
All right.
But I've heard the music's amazing, and this Neil Davidge guy seems to be pretty up to par, and I'm very optimistic about the music. I'm sure they'll make it epic.
I mean, all the stuff that we've seen from the trailers so far has been solid.
That's very true.
So, I think, overall, I think Halo 4 is in good hands. I think we're seeing, and it's interesting to see it now more as we're starting to get more and more information, kind of how 343 is handling the situation. And I think, for the most part, people that are keeping open minds on Halo 4 are liking what they're seeing. And unfortunately for those people who are closed-minded and not looking at the bigger picture of Halo, I think they're missing out, kind of.
Yeah, I can agree. But those are the type of people that just miss out on life, period. You know, it's not just Halo that they're missing out on. They're closed-minded towards all sorts of things. And
right.
I think some of them just might need to play it.
Yeah. Stop jumping to conclusions, and whenever the game comes out, just try it.
What do you mean whenever the game comes out?
When the game comes out.
Sorry, when the game comes out. Whenever, sorry.
Whenever they end up getting the game.
Exactly. When the game comes out, just give it a try, and I mean, you can always return it if you hate it that much. But you have to realize that the game is going to move on with or without people's support. And if the majority of the people support the game and support what 343 is doing, then the game is going to go places, and it's going to be the new Halo.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It'll be good. People will enjoy it.
Yeah, it's yeah, we're not going to have a problem with it, I don't think. I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
A little under 7 months?
Yeah. It's close. All right.
Scarily close.
It's going to be gone before we know it, isn't it? Or it's going to be here before we know it. Sorry.
Yeah, and then we'll be like, yeah, remember when we were recording that podcast and we said 7 months?
It's like, oh, right.
Yep.
Okay, well...
Hey, fall's going to be huge, you know? There's like 4 huge games coming out in 4 weeks in a row. Bioshock Infinite, Medal of Honor, Warfighter, Assassin's Creed 3, Halo 4. Oh, and I wouldn't be surprised if the Call of Duty... it's probably going to be Call of Duty Black Ops 2, right? I mean, that's probably going to come out the week after Halo 4, is my guess.
Yeah, but I'll be playing Halo 4.
Right, obviously, but it's kind of, I mean, food for thought, right? Speculation, competition's sake.
See, and this is where I say I've grown as a gamer, because I think I want to try and actually finish those two within a timely manner. I felt bad for finishing Gears, which came out on September 20th, at the end of February. I didn't feel like I was doing my duty as a gamer to play all these
games. Hey, man. It's all right. I have games from, like, 2010 I haven't even put in the system yet.
I was like, fun
you
fact,
know, you know?
I still haven't played Mass Effect, and it's at my house in the wrapper.
Hey, it's fine, man.
I haven't played Mass Effect. I still haven't finished Fallout 3. And that came out when?
2009? Or 8? November of 2008?
Yes, 2008, yes.
Was it that recent?
Yes, it is.
I thought it was older than that.
No, it's not.
Really?
It was like holiday 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
2008 was a stellar year in games.
October 28th, 2008. Wow. All right.
GTA 4.
I thought it was older than that.
Gears of War 2.
I redact my statement.
Call of Duty World at War. Etc.
Yeah. It seems like all the subsequent years so far have been like, oh, this is the biggest year in gaming ever. Is it just getting to that point where, yes, we're seeing a lot of good games? It's just...
I mean, 2009 was kind of... what do we have in 2009? Like, it was Modern Warfare 2, ODST, and, like, some GTA 4 DLC. Like, okay.
But then we had 2 years of trilogies. Like, 2010 was supposed to be a year of trilogies. 2011 was supposed to be a year of trilogies. Or sequels, I guess, more or less.
2009 was very heavy on sequels. Fallout New Vegas, Fable 3.
Battlefield 3.
Yes. No, that's 2011. Well, 2010.
Oh, you're talking about, okay.
January. Although there was Red Dead Redemption, although that was kind of a spiritual successor to Red Dead Revolver. There was Heavy Rain, which was kind of a hot new thing.
So... I don't know, it just seems like we're at that point where there's a lot of games coming out now and sequels that we're...
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you can really say this is a big year in gaming anymore.
I think it's important for each year of gaming to have all the games be spread out throughout the year. I think years like 2011 were all the most of the hot games. I'd say, sure, there were some games towards the beginning of the year, like Portal 2 and L.A. Noire or whatever, but like... When, like, 80% of the hot games are all clustered within, like, 2 months at the end, like, that's just really annoying for the consumer.
Yeah.
It needs to be spread out, and it seems like this year is a good spread so far. At least a weekly spread. At the very least, a weekly spread.
So, yeah. Anyways, I think that pretty much wraps up the show. We did not get a chance to listen to the SparkCast as of this recording, so we will do another on the next show if there's any additional subsequent information that was not released in any other form of media today. We will talk about that in our next show after our MLG show. For our next show, we will be talking MLG with Bravo. He is one of the commentators for our MLG Halo. And we'll have a couple other guests on as well. And just and with all the new information that's come out with Halo 4, try to get some perspective on what MLG, what the direction of MLG might be with Halo 4, with all the new stuff that's coming out, what the future for the rest of Halo Reach being in the rest of the championships this year, the spring championship, the summer championship, and the fall championship. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, make sure you tune into our next episode. And then the episode after that, we will pick up our discussion on more Halo 4 information. Also, make sure you check out our website. And while you're there, check out the forums. We are currently working on the beta forum still. I think the server is supposed to be moved at some point. The server is still up at the moment. So whenever it gets moved, it will be down for approximately a day. But when it comes back up, there should be some new stuff out for you guys to check out. Other than that, I don't have any other big announcements. Make sure you send your stuff in. We'll also be reading submissions on our next show. We have enough to make a decently length show now. So we will read those off as well. We have a few voicemails to play alongside those. I cannot remember the number off the top of my head since it's a new number. I will need to memorize that at some point. But It's on the website, so if you search for our new number, it's there. And I will make sure to reference it in the next show. And with that being said,
Make sure to go on the forums. We're talking about lots of fun things like politics and Halo 4 and other games like Max Payne and Far Cry.
Politics. Yes, politics. And to all of you forum goers who don't say that we're on the regular schedule, look at the past 10 plus shows that we've done. We've released them pretty consistently. Since I have a job now, I've been pretty much trying to get them out on the regular schedule as much as possible. So, yeah, screw you. But with that being said, thank you guys for listening in. We will be continuing to monitor all the Halo 4 news as it comes out and talking about them on the show. And we will hopefully be getting some good, or some, I hate to use the term good because Rukizel is a good guest. And, but we will be getting some more prominent guests come time the summer rolls around. So.
Fantastic.
So, yes.
Sweet.
Yep. So see you guys later.
See ya.
Peace.